Well, I too greet each one of you in the name of Jesus, the Lord of the church. It's in his name we gather, and it's my desire that his name would be exalted today. As we continue in our worship, it already has been. I've been blessed by our sharing together and our singing. It always gives some, I don't know, well, it just gives us some of the energy we need to stand up this morning and share the Word of God as well. And so today, I want to take us into the Old Testament. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. I'd like to just move right into this message and see what the Lord has for us. I know we spent some time in the Old Testament already this morning in the book of Ezekiel. I read through Numbers. In the Bible reading plan that I'm using right now. And there was some verses that stood out to me. Actually, there was a couple chapters of one day's reading that really stood out to me, and I've been sort of mulling it over, and that's the heart of this message this morning comes from there. Now, let me just go ahead and give the message title. The title that I have chosen this morning is The Way of All the Earth. The Way of All the Earth. And as I read chapter 11, that's what came to me. That was what began to play through my mind. And that phrase, exact phrase, is found in Joshua and in 1 Kings. Joshua was one of the men, and David was the other man who made this exact same statement. And this verse and phrase, I go the way of all the earth, is no doubt speaking about the natural course of the flesh. That's what Joshua was saying. That's what David was saying. Look, I'm getting old. And this phrase has the idea of all flesh coming to the same end. It's either going to be a violent and a quick death, or it's going to be a slow death of sickness or just old age, but all men come to this same conclusion. That is what this statement, that's what this phrase, the way of all the earth, is talking about. So Joshua and David made this statement to the family, to those who they were leading, to those who were going to take up their responsibilities, and take up the work that they were leaving behind. Now, this morning I'm not bringing a message because I have this message, this particular message, because I have some premonition about what that we're going to be facing death here very, very soon. I don't bring the message because of that premonition. However, that may be the case for one of us. That possibility is very real and it exists. But rather, I'm bringing you this message because that's what came to my mind and my heart as I read this, and I'd like us to consider this together as I read Numbers 11. And so I would like to just read Numbers 11, but perhaps before I do that, so you all don't wonder too long, let me get out this little object lesson. I'd like to have it up here so we all can see. So it's a little house, a little log house put together with these little logs children play with and build things with. Did me good this morning to say, hey children, where's those logs at? So, oh, they were in the attic. So I sat down on the floor and built this little house. Had to get some help, put it all together. The way of all the earth. Let's read Numbers 11. I want to start with in verse 33 of Numbers 10. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they came out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Doesn't that sound nice? Here was a people that had come together, that had been called together by God. And God calls these people, sometimes he refers to them as the house of Israel. And so, the house. This group of people, and if you would have read through Numbers, you would have saw that where God organized all the people. And they were all in rows and in sections and in family groups, and in there was roads and there was streets, and the way this was all laid out, and the tabernacle had its special place, and there it all was. And the cloud of God was there, and when the cloud moved, the people moved, and then the cloud stopped, they stopped, and it came back into the tabernacle, and God was right there with them. That was the reality that existed in the desert. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, verse 1 of chapter 11, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was amongst them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again. And they said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it into mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. Do you get the picture of this? Here were grown men in their family groups, and they were standing in the doors of their tents, and they were weeping. They were bawling. They were boo-hooing loudly. There was this cry in the camp, and they were complaining, and they were whining, and they were moaning and groaning about their lot in life. And they said, Oh, if only we could have. And then we see that the Lord was kindled, anger was kindled greatly. God became angry at this cry, this ridiculousness. And Moses also, he became displeased. He was, I don't know what the right word would be, but he was frustrated, he was upset, we might say. And Moses said unto the Lord, and now watch this, Wherefore hast thou afflicted me, thy servant? Why are you doing this to me? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Are they mine? Are they my children? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child upon the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers? Are you asking me to baby all these people along and pat them on the back and pick them up? And whence should I have flesh to give all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear it, all these people alone, because it's too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Moses said, you know what, God, I'm done. Here is my resignation papers. And really, if you really love me, just take me out of this mess. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 of the elders of the Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with me. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, Moses, and I'll put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou mayest bear it not thyself alone. Now, it seems like God has focused his attention on Moses and his legitimate burden, and I don't know if it was fair for him to be weeping or complaining as he was, or making some of the statements that he was, but we see Moses' flesh here, don't we? We see the reality of his situation, and God said, okay, let me address your situation first of all. So the people are still weeping out there, and he calls out 70 men here in verse 16. Verse 18, and say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall eat it not 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Here's Moses questioning God. Here was the God who was providing the manna for that same number of people every day. And Moses saying, how are you going to do this? Are we going to have to kill all of our animals to feed these people or what? And the Lord said, came down in a cloud and spoke unto him. No, and verse 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand wax short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So here we have this bright spot, where the Spirit of God, where God come down in the cloud, he was right there. The presence of God was right there in the camp. The 70 men were gathered around, and God took some of the Spirit of Moses, or he took the Spirit of Moses, the Spirit of God that was upon Moses, and he spread it out among the 70 that were there, and they began to prophesy. I don't know what that all meant, but it seems it was clear that they were proclaiming the goodness of God. It was an obvious moment where they were filled with the Spirit of God. And it says that they did not cease. We were in verse 25. They prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. So the name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. So it seems like 70 men were called, but only 68 came out to the tabernacle. The other two men did not come out to the tabernacle, but they were back there in their camps and back over in the congregation of Israel, and they began to prophesy. They began to proclaim, just as the other ones did. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, another one of the leaders, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp. as it were, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibbuth, I'll leave that go, because there were buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. Not done yet. Chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple verses there. And Moses and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, and has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Now, maybe the children here know what it's like for dad to say, come back to the office or the study or the bedroom, or mom for that matter. Maybe the school students know what it's like to say, you come over to the principal's office. I'm going to take you to see the principal. Well, this was a whole different level of that. Suddenly God said, you all come out from among the people and come up to the tabernacle. And so they came up. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And she was then put out of the camp for 7 days before she was restored. Now, the wife that was referred to here of Moses in chapter 1 seems to be fairly clear that it was Zipporah who he had married. It was his wife when he was out in the wilderness taking care of the sheep. She was an Ethiopian woman. But the story continues on, and I'd like to go just a little further yet. I'm not going to read it, but I'll just tell it. So here they were. Here was the children of Israel. And it says then in the last verse here of chapter 12, that they moved one more time, and then God sent out the spies into the land of Canaan, and we know the story. The spies came back, and there was 10 of them that said, oh, there's no way that we can do it. There's men over there that are so tall we look like grasshoppers, and it went on, and there was this great cry in the camp, and there was this rebellion in the camp. Moses and Joshua tried to turn that around, and Caleb, they couldn't accomplish it. God became so angry that he said, I'm just going to destroy all these people. And Moses said, wait, don't do it. All those men back in Egypt, they're going to look on this and say, what kind of God is this anyway? Just for that reasoning, for the sake of those who are looking on, don't do it. And God said, okay, I won't do it. In the meantime, the people said, look, we don't want to go back out in the wilderness. We're going to go do this on our own. Moses said, don't do it. And they went and did it anyway, and the men came. There was a war. Many were killed. They were pushed back. And God said, so you all, just so you understand what you all are not going to see. Anyone 20 years and older is not going to see the promise. You are going to die in this wilderness. And so 40 years. And there they went. And as I read all that, that's when it stood out to me. The way of all the earth is what we just saw. It's the way of all the earth, just like that. It's the way of all the earth. It doesn't come up. It goes down. It doesn't become more refined. It goes to pieces. It doesn't become more godly. It becomes ungodly. It's the way of all the earth. It's the same kind of death. God had built himself a house, and it was destroyed. Here were people who saw the manifestations of God such as none other before them had. Here were a people who had seen the manifestations of God such as none other had before. Shall I say it? And none other have since? Not like this, not like this. So the miracles in Egypt, the sufferings of the suffering of Egypt, the protection of themselves, the children of Israel, the great deliverance through the sea, the cloud by day and the light by night, the power of God on the mountain, the provisions in the wilderness, the revelation of God in the tabernacle, and here we see a people who were crying to God. There was grown men who were standing in their tents, and they were weeping big tears. And there was a noise that was going up that could be heard because we don't have any meat to eat. And then Moses, he goes after God. And then Miriam and Aaron, they come after Moses. And then God tries to set them all straight and gives them the food that they were looking for. And they just went all out. They just became pigs. They just went after this like it was going to somehow bring them something that they didn't already have from God. And God judged them for it. And then God brought them there to that land. And then they said, we can't do it. And they said, oh, now we're going to do it on our own. The way of all the earth. So this is the way of all the earth. It's not up, it's down. I am amazed as I look at society today. 2,000 years since the time of Christ, how many years since the time of the tabernacle and the cloud by day and the light by night? How many years since the Red Sea? How many years since all of those worldwide known and renowned events of God? I am amazed when I really stop and look at it that this world has as much structure to it yet. And the only thing that seems to me that I can attribute that to is the fact that the Spirit of God has not yet withdrawn itself. And God is able, because He is the Creator and we are the created, to continue to place within and program into the heart of every little child enough of himself that it needs to be unprogrammed. And so that has remained a check against the destruction and annihilation of society. But the fact of the matter is, the reason that there was something to crash is because there was something created. And outside of the Creator and the sustaining power of holding it up here, it's crashed. It's devolving, not evolving. It's going down, not up. I'm repeating myself. But that's the point that I think is so important to us. And so, brothers and sisters, it is the way of all the earth. We don't naturally become better. We naturally, each one of us, turn away. And so this morning, the way of all the earth comes right down to me and you, doesn't it? We talk a lot about our carnal nature. We are by nature, the Bible says, the children of wrath, even as others. But what about Moses? He was a man He wasn't a man who was seeing, he wasn't a man who just received visions and dreams about God. He was a man who stood face to face with God, who God spoke. God said himself right here, this man is different than any other man that ever was and that existed at that time. This man is different. He told Moses, Miriam, and Aaron that. And yet, here was a man who told God, why don't you just kill me? If you really love me, after all, these aren't my children. Why don't you just kill me? What was that all about? What was that all about? And so we see a man who was in the flesh. We see a man who was facing the pressure, the reality of life, just as you and I face it. Just as you and I. The point is this morning, if we can learn anything from Numbers, it's that we all naturally and fleshly go the way of all the earth. That's who we are. And that doesn't give us room and license, but it does give us understanding. It does help us to know how we should understand ourselves. It does help us to know that there is no hope because we are that. What was interesting is there was three chapters in that reading, and the next chapter, it was 11 and 12, and it was John chapter 5. I want you to turn to that. And I want to read verses, we're going to be looking at like 18 through maybe the end of the chapter. I began, the message title is
The Way of All the Earth.
That's the message title. That was the name of my first point. I have a name for my second point and my last point of this message. And maybe I'll just let that go for a little bit. Think about it as we read these verses. What could we call, what stands out to you? I want to, before we read, starting at verse 18, I want to go back to verse 45, 46, and 47. I want you to notice something here. Chapter 5 of John. Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Interesting. Here he was talking to a group of people who still were looking back at Moses. John 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, them also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men shall honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, what is that verse saying? Who's the dead? Who's the dead? What do you think? Humanity? All right. But who was he speaking to in this verse? He was speaking to humanity. Was he speaking to those who were? What's this word dead mean? I'm with you on that, but what does it mean? Were they dead? How were they dead? Jesus was saying that the time, the hour is coming, and then he says, it now is. And so it seems like he was recognizing that there was some more revelation coming, but it's already here because he was here. And he said, the dead are going to hear. The dead are going to be, what does it say? Shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And so we must recognize, and this sort of it connects to this whole idea of the way of all the earth. We're not just talking about the physical death of this body. We're talking about the spiritual death. And we're also, this verse is referencing at least those three. Natural, spiritual, and eternal are the three kinds of death. And certainly the natural death, because those who were dead were going to hear him, the resurrection. Those who were dead, as they stood there and listened to him, there was those who were dead who would hear him, and they would be made come alive, and so on. So we understand that Jesus was talking about himself and what was going to happen here. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man. He is the God-man. He is the fullness of God come to earth in the fullness of man, so that he could accomplish this, so that verse 25 could be accomplished that we've just read. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Marvel not at this, verse 28, I skipped that. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, talking about those who are physically dead, that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John the Baptist, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from men, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He, John, was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not honor that cometh from God only? Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For ye have not believed Moses. Ye would have believed me, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? It was just so interesting to see these passages of scriptures come together. The sadness, the upheaval, the darkness of this reality here, the way of all the earth. What we saw in mankind, in natural fleshly humanity, not only in just the man in the tents out there, but even in those who were called, those who were given responsibility. And as I consider this, I'd like to just change up this title a little bit for this last point. It's a very simple thought. It's not a new one, but I'd like to share it. It's very simple. It's the way for all the earth. I think my English is right. I think because I wrote the capital W way, that I would need a comma for that. Because suddenly something has changed here. And that's what changed everything here. This whole, should I say, experiment? Was it an experiment for God? I don't believe it was. That word quite fits, because God knew the end before the beginning. But this reality here on the floor before us is still the reality of all mankind. And even those of us who understand this and believe and receive it find ourselves in places where our fleshly humanity, and suddenly we see that's the way of all the earth. Without Christ, all of us end up there on the floor. And then I look at Moses, and he was a man who didn't just hear God by the Spirit of God. He walked with God. He talked with God face to face. He was a man who knew God. He was a man who, can we say it, set God straight a few times. He said, wait a minute, you can't do this. And God didn't do it. How was all that? And I don't know that I understand all that. Except that God placed all of that. God already knew that whole exchange was going to happen. That's why, but God wanted that interaction, okay? And so here we come back to Moses now. And he was a man who faced the very challenges of the flesh that we face today. But what Jesus was telling us in John 5 is there is a better way. There is a new way, and it's me. And if you, men of Israel, if you, the house of Israel, if you, those who were seeking to kill him, the Jews, would receive this message, if you would actually be listening, if you would actually hear Moses, but you aren't hearing Moses, and it's just like those people back there in the wilderness who didn't hear Moses. And so you're not going to receive me. And so for them, they did not receive this way. He said in verse 42 of chapter 5, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. That's what he said. And so there it is, brothers and sisters. But I know you, for ye have not the love of God in you. That's what changes everything. When you and I have the love of God in our hearts, and I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive, and so on. This morning, the answer to the way of all the earth, right here. The answer to the way of all the earth, those, our society, those around us, is Jesus and the way. And it's the same for you and I this morning. And as I was considering the upheaval and the turmoil and the sadness that was happening there in the Old Testament, I could see how, I could see it in our society. We shouldn't be surprised when we go out of these doors. I was driving on the road yesterday and I saw an old church building back in the woods. I mean, this was really old. And it was just going to pieces. The tin was coming off the roof. And I thought, it's just going the way of all the earth. And then I thought about the people that were in it way back in those days. And I thought, they went the way of all the earth. And then I wondered about those who are yet living today. How about the people who are not going into that church anymore? You see, it could very well be that they too have went the way of all the earth. And so, when our fleshly, natural, and carnal realities take a hold in our lives, it's simply going the way of all the earth. Unless we are arrested by, unless there is a creative power that is accomplishing something in our lives. And that's what that's what Jesus was saying here. Look, the Father has given all things unto me, and I have become the judge. I don't know quite how that fits with some other verses in John 3. Jesus said, look, I didn't come to condemn you because you're already condemned. I understand it, though, in this context, that Jesus is saying, you see, I am bringing everything that if you will but receive, then you will not be judged by the Father in the judgment. And so, in Christ, we become this new creature. And in Christ, we become the house that God desires us to be. And in that, when we see those moments of Moses rising up in us, we understand that this is the way they live of all the earth. And it requires us to do what? Well, I was talking with my wife, and she was talking about something she was trying to do, and she wasn't able to get it done. And it was, I said, that sort of just went, we were riding in here to church this morning. I said, I guess that just sort of went the way of all the earth. Because it required discipline. It required hard choices. It required, those things are not natural. They are unfleshly. They are. And so, by the grace of God, we become that which we are not in the flesh. By the grace of God. And by this, but what about the grace of God in the Old Testament? That's what has changed with the way. The way for all the earth has changed all of that. So I'll just close with a verse that Brother Leo sent in a little group who was back and forth here with Clyde and Steve as they were leaving. And Leo, I think, quoted this verse for one purpose, and Clyde used it for another purpose, and I'd like to use it for this purpose yet because it fits all three. Clyde mentioned something about, it was about the some of the work that they had done, and Leo said he at least quoted part of this verse in Hebrews 1:3, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person and upholding all things by the word of his power. I believe that's, and when he had by, oh, let me go there. When he had by himself when he had by himself can you finish it for me, Leo? When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right of the on the right hand of the majesty on high. What stood out to me was, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things. Leo talked about, we'll just leave that to him who upholdeth all things by the word of his power. the work that was being done, spiritual work, the physical spiritual work that was being done in Bangladesh. And Clyde said, well, that's the only way I trust getting in this plane. Very true. The laws of nature that God has established has allowed man to build systems upon it. And one of those systems happens to be a plane. That's all. It's all in God's realms. It's all being upheld by his power. Oh, you say, oh, well, the jet engines are what pushing that. Well, yeah, but the whole system, I already made that clear. The point this morning is this house that I could reconstruct here in just a few minutes, it's only going to remain a house when it's upheld by the word of his power. And so let's allow God to do that in our lives. I pray by my believing and my choices that I too will be upheld by the power of God through Jesus Christ, the way this week. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow down here before you this morning, and we're humbled because we recognize that we are so much like the men and the women of Numbers. And so I pray that you would, by your grace, and especially by that which has been channeled to us through Jesus Christ, that you would uphold us and that you would lift us up. I pray that we would, by your grace, crucify the flesh. I pray that we'd recognize how that within us lies so many ways to go the way of all the earth. And so I pray that we could represent your kingdom, your godliness, holiness, righteousness, perfection, by your grace, to a society that is going the way of all the earth. And so give us wisdom, O God. Grant us grace and strength. I pray that this would be, that we'd be encouraged by maybe just another understanding of who we are outside of you. And I pray that we would understand that you, O God, through Jesus Christ, have become our righteousness. You have become our sanctification. You have become our wisdom. And you have become our all in all. And so we bow again before you humbly this morning. And we pray that you would bless us with your presence, with your spirit. And may we become more holy and better servants, better enabled to serve you. We ask this all in Jesus' name.